Hello and welcome to Tax Invoice, the ATO's official podcast. Here at the ATO, we want tax and super to be as easy to understand as possible. So we've invited industry experts to sit down with ATO's senior leaders and ask them the questions. We hope you enjoy this episode of Tax Invoice.
Hi, my name is Amanda Linton and I'm the Chief Executive for the Institute of Certified Bookkeepers. Today we'll be discussing mental health and available support and education for tax professionals and their clients. This is a really important issue for all areas of the profession, and I'm someone who can actually speak from both sides of the fence, having had both experience as a tax professional with my clients having to go through these scenarios, but also to someone who's actually experienced some mental health challenges myself. So today I'm actually joined by Colin Walker, who is the Assistant Commissioner from the ATO. So welcome, Colin. Would you just be able to give us a little bit of an outline as to what your role within the tax office actually entails?
Sure, and thanks, Amanda. My role is essentially to look after the relationship between the ATO and the tax professionals. So tax and BAS agents are clearly a very strong focus of mine, and ensuring that we not only provide the right services and support, but we actually build that relationship, that we work together, we co-design, and we have a vision for the future, working together in that way. So that's my role.
Wonderful, that's great to hear. So I'm also joined by Patrice O'Brien. So Patrice is the General Manager for Workplace Partnerships and Engagement from Beyond Blue. Patrice, could I just ask you to just give us a little bit of an idea as to what your broader role with Beyond Blue actually entails?
Yeah, absolutely. So also thanks, Amanda, and great to be here and be a part of this conversation. So my role at Beyond Blue, so I oversee our partnerships and community engagement program, but I also oversee our workplace program. So our workplace program is all about encouraging and promoting mentally healthy workplaces across Australia. And we do that by really trying to reduce the stigma about mental health within the workplace setting, and also to really encourage and inspire business leaders and business owners to focus on what they can do to create mentally healthy workplaces, and then to provide the tools and resources to people within workplaces so that they know what to do to look after themselves, their colleagues, their employees, and their business.
That's great. Thank you very much. So welcome to both of you. So Patrice, I will actually start with you. Look, I know from my perspective, A, as a tax professional, but B, having challenges of my own, that one of the key things that I know I never stepped up and did was actually to A, recognise the fact that there was actually a name for how things were going, but also too, from the perspective of I didn't actually reach out for help. And so I know in my situation, it took a number of years for me to be diagnosed with depression. So can I ask, is that something that tends to be fairly common, you know, in someone who might know that there's something that doesn't particularly feel right, but not necessarily understand what's going on?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, your experience, as you probably know from discussions you've had since, is far from a unique one. So, and the reasons behind that, there's a few reasons. So one of them is that mental health is a continuum. It's not a black and white thing. You're not well or unwell. You can slide along a bit of a scale. So sometimes when people are stressed by the day-to-day things that happens in life, people just think, oh, well, that's just what I have to put up with at the moment. My job's busy, I'm running my own business, I'm dealing with challenging things, life's a bit tough, so that's just the way things are for me. What people don't sometimes notice is when those symptoms become really persistent, and that's a sign that actually something is going a bit more wrong. So the first part of it is really mental health literacy and people being aware of what those signs and symptoms mean. But the second part of it is knowing where to get help, but also overcoming that stigma. And one of the strongest stigmas is self-stigma. And often people, and particularly, you know, small business owners, people who've been very successful, there's often a lot of pride behind that. And that self-stigma to say, actually, I need to put my hand up and I need to get some support to get through this. It's a really strange thing, because if you had a physical health condition, you generally wouldn't think twice. But there's something about mental health that really brings about that stigma, even for ourselves. So that experience that you had of taking years to get help is a very common one. And we also very commonly hear, very commonly, and this might be your experience, Amanda, but people often say, I just wish I'd got that help sooner. It would have saved me years of heartache.
Absolutely. And I know that was definitely my situation. And do you think that's one of the key contributors to that, is the fact that as a small business operator, and particularly as a sole business operator, is you wear a number of hats. So you don't ever really, I know from my perspective, I don't think I ever actually had a chance to switch off, which was part of that challenge. But you also highlighted another really great point, is the fact that it can be external pressures around you, not necessarily anything that you're particularly doing yourself in your own behaviours, that can actually lead to these kinds of situations. So Colin, can I get some of your insights on this?
When you actually talk about small business, 40% of tax agents in our system are sole traders. 60% of tax agents are basically sole traders or husband and wife teams, which is a huge proportion of our numbers. And that's also the space where we see most of our problems, with lodgement program not being met as well as what they'd like, with the stresses and strains. And if our system goes down, it's them that are the noisiest ones. And it's because it really impacts them in a big way. And so we've focused in a lot of ways to try to cope with that kind of problem.
And I have to say too, Colin, is that I know from my experience as a BAS agent, is that my interactions in relation to the telephony staff, there's been a really significant improvement in the ATO systems and responses, which I think is fantastic, that it's obviously been recognised and been addressed. How can agents, do you think, actually recognise the fact that there is a difference between someone who is actually in a really challenging position versus someone who's maybe just playing the system a little bit? And how can the ATO actually help agents to work to find some of those differences and provide some support?
Yeah, look, I think that's a very difficult one. But from our perspective, I suppose the important thing that I would always say to an agent is you're not on your own. We will listen and we will help you. I'll give you an example. In the lodgement program that tax agents are required to work towards, the 80%, it's a continuous improvement plan. We do see a reasonable number of agents right down in the bottom end, that 10, 20, 30%. And when we go in and talk to them, we don't go in with a stick. The concept is, let's try and help you to build that back up, because you're in business. It's no use for us to put you out of business. What we want you to do is look after your clients. What we normally find is that there is something wrong. Something has gone wrong. Whether it's mental health, whether it's physical health, quite often physical health is a problem for particularly smaller agents where they're on their own. And they've gone through some significant problems, but they haven't come and told us. They just let it go on and on and on. By the time we get in there and start to really focus on what has gone wrong, it takes a lot more work. But what we do is put them on a lodgement program where we assist them to get back up to where they need to be. In the really bad cases, we may well tell them you can't take on any more clients, because you're not servicing these ones. Let's at least help you to get to that point. The other thing we do is try to convince the agent to talk to their professional association. Mm-hmm. Because if we can work with the professional association, we can do a lot to support not only getting the that horrible piece of wood off their back and give them time to catch up, but at the same time, often the professional associations can bring someone else in to help them, just to tide them through those spaces. So my comment is always, tell us, because agents are in business. It's a tough game. If we have a systems problem, or you have a telecommunications problem, or for example, an agent in Wagga said to me they just got all their new computer systems set up and a rat ate through the main cable. So suddenly they had no internet again for a whole week, out totally. Those things happen, but the secret to it is, tell us about it. Let's work out a way to get forward. We can do lots of support.
And look, and I think you've highlighted a really important point, Colin, and that's the fact is to keep the lines of communication up. I also know, again, through my own experiences, that part of the challenge that I know that I had was being able to actually admit to someone that I potentially wasn't coping very well. So, Patrice, if I can just throw back to you. So in my role as part of a professional association, or perhaps even, you know, in the role of Colin's staff, what are some of the things that, some of the symptoms that people exhibit, you know, if they're struggling, that we can be aware of and start to look out for from your perspective?
Yeah, and I think the point that you made earlier is a really good one, that it can be difficult because those symptoms can look a lot like someone trying to avoid or to dodge the system. And I can't tell you how encouraged I feel to hear Colin's responses, because I'm an eternal optimist and I think about, imagine if we could have a whole Australia where we really, instead of assuming that someone's being dodgy or not responding, instead of jumping to that as our first assumption, we went, let's just check in and see if they're okay and have a conversation and see if we can help them get the best outcome. And it's incredible when we approach things that way, how much more productive things can be and how much better outcomes we can actually get and how much less stress we cause for everyone involved in the process. So anyway, I just wanted to say that because I think it's a fantastic approach and I really commend the ATO on the approach. But those kind of signs and symptoms may be that avoidance, that you're not hearing from someone. If you've got someone on the phone or even, you know, for a tax agent sitting in front of you, it might be that their mood seems strange. So they might be, you know, either really kind of flat and talking quite slowly or quietly, or it could be that they're quite irritable and that they respond more than you would expect to something that you wouldn't reasonably expect them to have such a strong response to. If you're actually, you know, physically seeing someone, particularly if it's someone who you see from time to time, you might notice that they seem more tired. You might notice sort of some changes in their appearance, that, you know, they seem to look a bit run down. So it's all of those kind of things that you can notice in someone. It's obviously a lot more, you know, challenging for some of your staff, Colin, who might only talk to someone on a phone and not know them well and not be able to pick that up. But I think, you know, what I would say for tax agents and for ATO staff is no one's asking you to become a budding psychologist. In fact, that in itself would be a real problem. So don't feel panicked that you need to be the person who needs to be able to identify whether there is a mental health condition. But if you just approach it that someone could be struggling with a mental health condition, or because a rat's eaten through their cords, or, you know, because one of their kids is sick, or because they're looking after a parent who's unwell, or all of the myriad things that happen in life, if you just approach it that they could be struggling and you treat them with care and respect and without stigma or discrimination, then you can usually get to a point where you can have that conversation and try and get to the bottom of what's wrong. And then once you get to that, that's when you can start to put in place solutions.
Correct. And look, I know, again, going back to at the time that I went through my struggles, I had a significant number of people who were around me telling me how fantastic my business world was, how the wonderful things that I was doing and the awards that we were winning were celebrating what we were actually doing. But I actually remember standing on stage at a conference one day, giving a speech and standing there telling everyone how wonderful my world was, but thinking to myself, you gullible idiots, if you only knew what was happening behind the scenes. And ironically, because I kept that front face on, and because I had this reputation of being someone who was always the strong one or the one that people could come to or those kinds of things, no one actually ever came to me and said, are you all right? Mm-hmm. And I think maybe if someone had actually done that and been a little bit more aware, then perhaps, you know, my journey mightn't have taken me 3 years to, you know, have been diagnosed and to be able to get some help. So Patrice, life in general can be fairly stressful. So what kinds of things can we recognise if we go from that place of having those periods of, yes, I'm a little bit stressed because I'm on a lodgement deadline, or I have a couple of clients who are screaming at me for argument's sake, versus this is now becoming a real problem and I really should think about either reaching out for help or at least asking someone to help me out with a workload?
Yeah, well, I think there's a couple of sides to it. And one of them, I think, is a bit like what Colin's talking about and what I was saying earlier around when you're doing your business planning. Plan it early and think about, if something goes wrong, what am I going to do? Who are my backups? Who are my supports? So create your own sort of well-being plan that sits alongside your business plan so that you know what you're going to do if things go wrong. Because when you're in the midst of it, it's a lot harder to see clearly. But if you've got a plan that you can go back and refer to, that helps a lot. And as part of that plan, and particularly for that phenomenal number of sole traders who we're talking about, is think around who your networks are going to be. Who are the people that you're going to be able to turn to? So is it through your professional association? Is there some kind of a mentor group or a small business coach? Or is there something in your local community where small business owners get together? But think about how you can get some of those supports around you so that you can debrief and you've got people to talk to and people to identify that, hey, you don't seem yourself lately, and that you've got people around you to check in on you. And then I think that the next step is that there is a lot of supports available now, which is fantastic. So, the Beyond Blue website has a wealth of information around how to look after yourself. And then more specifically than that, at Beyond Blue, we've also got a workplace program called Heads Up. And the Heads Up website, again, has got a lot of tools and a lot that we've developed specifically for small business owners. So if you go onto the website, you can go straight into the small business section so that the information will really talk to you. And then above and beyond that, so there's some things that you can do to look after yourself, but then eventually you get to the point where you can't do it on your own. And my advice would be, don't wait too long for this. And if you need to, go and see your GP and get a referral. And at Beyond Blue, we've also got a fantastic new service that we're really promoting for small business called New Access. And for that one, you actually don't even need a referral from a GP. It's not available everywhere in Australia yet, but it's got pretty good availability, and you can check on our website where it's available. But there's no barrier to access. It's free. You can access a coach, and they will help you develop strategies to manage those things that are getting on top of you.
And that's really great to hear. And I know from personal experience, now Heads Up didn't actually exist back when I was having my challenges, but I know one of the things that I consistently asked when people said, when people did to start to notice, and they said, well, where do you go, or go and speak to this person for help? And I know from my perspective at that stage, I wasn't aware of the reach of Beyond Blue and the likes of Heads Up. So my pushback was generally, well, yeah, but I can talk to someone about me, but they don't know anything about a business. And to be honest, it never even registered to me that I would pick up the phone and talk to the tax office of all people. So one of the key things that I know that I'm hearing a lot about at the moment is we have a lot of technology push around. Technology is making things faster and more accessible, so therefore you can take on more work, which can be a real trap for people to fall into. So that when we hit those lodgement deadlines, Colin, that we were talking about before, now as a tax agent potentially, or a BAS agent, I'm now sitting here saying, well, I've now got 300 clients I have to get through the end of year process. So what are some of the things that the ATO, and you did actually allude to some of them before, about, if I find myself in that position where all of a sudden I'm a little overwhelmed, how do I contact my BAS agent line to be able to actually get some help with just sort of realising that, you know what, I've overcommitted myself, but I need a bit of help to meet the deadlines?
It's not unusual for an agent to hit that problem. First thing to do is ask yourself early enough, do I need a deferral? And if you do need a deferral, then contact us. You can either do it through the portal directly, and you can do agent assessed deferrals. So there are some you can do yourself. If you're really into a bit of a mess, you can contact us through the website on the deferral side and ask for some help, and we'll help you put together a program. That's the thing to do. Contact us. If you're having other problems, such as technical issues, or you're having problems just understanding how to do something, use complex issues resolution. Telephony line, sure. Ring us if you can get there, that's fine. But if you can't get an answer, complex issues resolution is found again as an email through the website. I have a group of people behind that. We contact you very quickly. You normally get a phone call within the next day, and between 2 and 5 days, we'll get the problem solved. The object of that group is when it's really difficult, we need to find the right person in the ATO to talk to, not transfer you around until you finally find someone. So we will do that and get you lined up. So we've got those systems. Telephony's always there. You can speak with the ATO directly, or you can ask someone to speak with us on your behalf. You can also call us on 13 11 42 or visit our website at ato.gov.au/smallbizmentalhealth.
That's great. So one of the things that that I'm hearing from you, Colin, but also too from you, Patrice, is one of the things that I think as agents we need to be thinking about now is about setting some boundaries around ourselves so that we don't overcommit ourselves. And sometimes that can be easier said than done because business owners, your clients can tend to be a little pushy, shall we say. And so I know from my perspective, a couple of things that I did just to put some boundaries around myself was first and foremost the importance of an engagement letter to a client and spelling out in that engagement letter things like, you know, in order for me to meet your lodgement deadlines, I need to have your information 15 days prior to the lodgement date, for argument's sake. And so what that actually did is put a little bit of onus back onto the business owners because particularly, and I can speak particularly from the bookkeeping space, that a lot of BAS agents and accountants are the same, tend to be a little bit more concerned or care a little bit more, should I say, around their business compliance than sometimes what their clients do. So having that in place, that was a really important one for me that I know, so that I wasn't having a client drop something on me the day before lodgement and then having to sit up till midnight trying to get it done, which we see a lot in varying social media groups tends to happen. But having those boundaries are great. But the other side of it is that we have to stick to them, and that can be a challenge at times. Being strong enough to say no to a client who becomes to be a little bit pushy. And that's easy when you're in a good headspace, when you're nice and clear. But sometimes I found that, you know, clients would take advantage of the fact that I would pick up the phone at 9 o'clock at night, and I worked out pretty quickly that if they thought I picked up the phone once, that they'd ring me again at 9 o'clock at night. So I suppose the lesson that I took out of that is that you actually teach people how to treat you. And so having some of those boundaries helps alleviate the need for having to ask for extensions. But it's fantastic to know that the tax officer are there with us to be able to help us when that kind of situation arises, which is fantastic. So Patrice, where can agents actually go if they're looking for a bit of help, A, for themselves, potentially, if they find themselves a little bit overwhelmed, but also, too, quite often we fall into the position of being a little bit of a marriage counsellor, a guidance counsellor, fall into a whole lot of these scenarios just because we get to know our clients so well. Where can we direct people? Because I know, in my experience, the best thing that my best friend, who was the one who called me out, she never tried to fix it, she never told me I was depressed. She just sort of let me talk and unload a little bit and then directed me straight to my GP. So that was my experience. But so is that the kind of approach that we should be looking at?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as I said earlier, it's not up to the agents to suddenly take on that role of counsellor, and that's not something that the agents have time to do or have the skills to do. So I think approaching someone with really genuine care and concern, if you can see that they're struggling, and being able to say to them, look, you seem to be having a bit of a hard time, and there's a huge amount of tools around how to have that conversation on both the Beyond Blue and the Heads Up website. So I think it is good for agents to familiarise themselves with how to have that conversation. But ultimately, the best thing for agents to say if they think someone's struggling is to recommend that they go to their GP. One of the things that's really come about for us as we've been talking a lot to small business owners over the past few years, and you've been involved in some of those conversations, is they've said to us, if something's going wrong with our mental health, don't expect us to go and find somewhere else. It's got to come to us where we're already at. So we think that the ATO and tax agents and small business mentors and all of those other intermediaries are actually a great source to skill up with the information about where to point someone.
So just before we wrap up today, just a couple of take-home messages. So Colin, what's some couple of take-home points that you'd like people to take out of our discussions today? Some key points you'd like to highlight from an ATO perspective?
The first one is we're not dragons. We do care about our tax and BAS agents. In fact, we care enormously about them. And our view is that you just need to come and tell us, talk to us. If you've got a problem, talk to us. The second thing is go and talk to your professional association. Use the discussion groups that they've got. And if you need help, ask for help, because they are there to help you and they're set up to do that as well.
That's great. And it's a great piece of advice. So Patrice, also from you, if you had a couple of takeaways from today, a couple of points that you'd like to make for the listeners, what would they be?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I think sitting here listening to both of your comments, that role of a tax agent is obviously a really challenging role, and often people are doing it on their own. And often then people are also dealing with their clients who have also got their own range of issues. So that tax agent role, you do become a bit of a meat in the sandwich. So I think that whilst it's really important to think about your clients and their needs and checking in on them if they're struggling, it's a bit like, you know, when you get on the plane and we talk about putting your own oxygen mask on first. You're not going to be able to look after anyone else unless you're looking after yourself. And so I think that that is a really important message, and make it part of your business plan so that you don't miss it. And then the other thing is that there are supports out there. So I've talked about Beyond Blue and Heads Up, but there's many others as well. There's resources available through Black Dog and through SANE and through Lifeline. So there's other supports available out there as well. So access those supports if you need help.
That's great. So I think the key message out of today is to communicate, to talk to our associations, talk to the tax office, contact that external help if that's something that we feel that we need access to as well. So thank you both of you for your insights for today. They've been fantastic insights to see how to approach it from both sides of the equation.
Thank you.
Thank you, Amanda.
Thanks for listening to this episode. Connect with us on social media and tell us what you think. Download the transcript at ato.gov.au/podcasts.